Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. The Bible I use this morning was given to me by Joel and Sue Weinberger in 1980. Used it a long time. Communion table is a flower arrangement. Was given to the Covenant Baptist Church by the Beacon Baptist Church of Clay, New York, on our 25th anniversary. That means it's how old? 40 years old. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? 40. It's good to have my Uncle Doug and his wife Linda with us today. Appreciate that. It's good to have Phyllis Jackson Franks with us. You know, Phyllis, I can never look at this pulpit without thinking of you. I don't know what I was thinking that day, that a bunch of us were standing here on the platform and on the steps, and I grabbed the cross, and I yanked it right off. And Phyllis, before my mother could say anything, said, "I'll fix that." And so I never can look at this pulpit without thinking of Phyllis. Yes. What do you preach on your last day as the pastor of the church? Well, the text was easy, Romans chapter 5. But I want to thank you for being here as this outpost of faith celebrates its 65th anniversary. Our Lord has blessed this body of believers with so many good and godly men. Good and godly men and women, past and present. And we thank them who have sacrificed so much so that this lighthouse could stand for the cause of Christ. Amen. It's not me, but it's this church that is known around the world because of her mission giving. It's not because of anything that Madonnas have done, but it's because of you that this church has been able to support many missionaries for many years. Thank you. But would you please stand as we sing, as we read from Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and mercy and grace that you shed upon us, for this hope that we have of one day stepping into heaven and seeing love. Thank you, Lord, for this church and what you've been able to do with it through the years. And Lord, may we continue to be used of you until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That verse has come to mean more and more to me through the years when I think about the fact that a holy God would die for me. Amen. Listen carefully to this thought from another. God's goal is not that we feel good, but that we do good. And we need to do that which is godly and right and holy. I have three closing thoughts. Number one, every Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church needs four things. It needs faithful people. Amen. Devoted, reliable, unwavering, dependable, stable, steadfast. Does that define your walk with the Lord? Does that talk about your dedication to this church? Every Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church needs faithful people. And may I add, every Bible-preaching pastor needs this. And on behalf of Pastor Ken, I hope that you will remain faithful and steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Number two, every Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church needs committed people that will stand true for the cause, willing to do what is needed. And may I say this on behalf of our coming pastor, he not only needs faithful people, he needs committed people. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Committed to the cause of Christ. Again, what this church needs and what every Bible-believing church needs is caring people. Loving, tender, helpful. The need to be helpful. Let me give you an example. In about a month, it's going to be time to put up the Christmas decorations. And Pastor Stephen's going to need your help. Because he knows what to do now. Right, Rudy? Yes. And you that have helped in the past. We need helpful people. But then also every Bible-believing church needs giving people. Would you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? Giving people, meaning generous. And immediately people say, oh, all you want is our money. Folks, it's not just about money when it comes to giving. The giving of your time, the giving of your effort, the giving of yourself spiritually to the cause of Christ. But notice what it says in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, or of necessity. For God what? Loveth. You want to be loved of God? God loveth a cheerful giver. If you would, the book of Galatians chapter 6. Just over a few pages. Galatians chapter 6. Beginning at verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. My second thought is this: three areas of our spiritual life. Number one, our relationship with one another. The Bible tells us that we are to love one another, correct? That we are to care for one another, that we are to bear one another's burdens, that we are to be there for each other in prayer. So our relationship with one another should be godly. Another area of our spiritual life is in our relationship with material things. Folks, we live in a society where people today have storage units and can't park in their garage because we have so much stuff. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to have stuff. I'm just saying that we need to make sure that we have the right priorities when it comes to material things. They should never come before the Lord, because they become an idol. And God, as we learned in Sunday school, is a jealous God, not wanting anything to come between us and Him. But then the third area of our spiritual life, our relationship with God. How is your relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit today? Are you more interested in what the Detroit Lions will do today than what the Lord wants us to do today? Are you more interested in society's whatever instead of what is going on at the church? How is our relationship with God? Jesus Christ died for the church. He loved it and cares for it. So how is your relationship with one another, with material things, and with God? Which brings me to the third thought, and it's not original with me. I'm stealing the thought from Dr. Larry Emery. And Dr. Larry Emery said, we need the strength of God to do the will of God for the glory of God. We need the strength of God. Folks, when we go to battle against Satan and the demons and the evilness of this wicked world, we need the strength of God, or we will fall. And we will become a casualty. We will be a has-been. To do the will of God is more important than anything that we think is important. To do His will. And then for the glory of God. Why are we alive today? It's to do the will of God, to bring glory to our God. Right. Do you want to bring glory to the Lord? Amen. That should be our desire. Amen. Which brings us to my conclusion. Don't you like that word, conclusion? Let me say this. I could talk about dozens upon dozens of people who were part of this church. But I'm only going to comment on one. The one I first saw on vacation, Bible school in 1965. My mother was downstairs right in the room below the auditorium for the VBS. And she said to me, go upstairs and get the pulpit. Do you think she meant this pulpit? No. She meant that pulpit. And so being a 12-year-old, you know how we are at 12 years old. I don't know what class we learned to roll our eyes. But all of us did it, right? Yes. So I rolled my eyes so she couldn't see it because my mother had the fastest backhand in the West. And she knew how to use it. And so I came up the stairs over there and through that door, and I came up under the platform and I got this pulpit. I'm 12 years old. And I picked it up, went through the door, down the steps, and through the door that leads into the fellowship hall. You've all seen it down there. And as I opened the door and I came out into the room, my eyes went to the back of the room, and there was this blonde-haired beauty wearing a black sweater and a black skirt. And I thought, wow. And I went from carrying the pulpit with two arms and two hands to one. I wanted her to know just how strong I was. And I chased her a long time before she caught me. The one you should thank for my being here is Donna Derringe Madonna. Thank you. Would you please stand as we sing a song of invitation? And may I ask our church family to come to the altar this morning and to pray for Brother Lance and his wife as they become the new pastor and wife here, that you will pray for the Covenant Baptist Church and that God will bless in the coming weeks and months and years. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can celebrate 65 years. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless this body of believers. And Lord, as we have this invitation time, Lord, I pray that you would just use Brother Lance in a powerful way. And may his wife be strong by his side. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.